In 1988, what began as a routine investigation into financial fraud at a Nebraska credit union unexpectedly pulled back the curtain on something far more sinister. When Lawrence Larry King Jr., a charismatic Republican fundraiser who had sung the national anthem at the 1984 Republican convention, was caught embezzling $40 million, investigators stumbled upon evidence of a nationwide pedophile network allegedly servicing America's power elite. Multiple foster children came forward with consistent stories of being trafficked to parties where they were sexually abused by prominent businessmen, media figures, and political leaders. What followed wasn't justice, but one of the most coordinated cover-ups in American history, a case so explosive that when Nick Bryant first tried to publish his findings, mainstream publishers repeatedly rejected the manuscript despite overwhelming documentation supporting its claims. America's most famous orphanage became an unwitting source of victims for King's operation. Boys Town, the renowned Nebraska institution that inspired an Oscar-winning film, prided itself on transforming the lives of at-risk youth. Yet multiple victims reported being recruited from there through a sophisticated grooming process. Former student Rue Fox described how his counselor methodically introduced him to King, who initially appeared cool to the vulnerable teenager, offering gifts, money, and attention before subjecting him to escalating abuse. Most disturbing was evidence suggesting some staff members weren't merely negligent, but actively complicit in connecting students to King's network. The operation extended far beyond Nebraska. The Washington Times published explosive articles in 1989 revealing that prominent Washington figures had participated in late-night White House tours arranged by Craig Spence, a Republican lobbyist connected to a sophisticated prostitution ring. Spence had professionally bugged his Massachusetts Avenue townhouse to record sexual encounters for blackmail purposes. Multiple independent sources confirmed direct connections between Spence and King, with evidence they operated a coordinated network catering to political elites across multiple cities. When Nebraska's Foster Care Review Board alerted authorities to multiple reports of King's child prostitution ring, the state legislature formed a special committee to investigate. Their lead investigator, Gary Caradori, quickly uncovered substantial evidence supporting the victim's claims. He conducted videotaped interviews with four key witnesses, Alicia Owen, Troy Boner, Danny King, and Paul Bonacci, all describing being sexually abused by prominent Nebraskans, including Larry King, Omaha Police Chief Robert Wadman, and newspaper publisher Harold Anderson. By July 1990, Caradori informed the committee he was on the verge of breaking the case wide open with smoking gun evidence from Chicago, photographs that would definitively prove the trafficking network's existence. Days later, his small plane inexplicably disintegrated mid-flight, killing both him and his 8-year-old son. Despite multiple eyewitness accounts describing unusual circumstances, the NTSB investigation lasted merely 5 days. Caradori's briefcase containing the Chicago evidence vanished from the widely scattered crash site. The investigation's trajectory changed dramatically after Caradori's death. Federal prosecutors, state officials, and local law enforcement abruptly shifted their stance, working in concert to discredit the victims. Those who persisted faced severe consequences, from threats and harassment to mysterious deaths. To cement the carefully crafted hoax narrative, authorities needed to discredit the victims. Alicia Owen's perjury trial demonstrated how the justice system could be weaponized against those threatening powerful interests. Her defense was compromised from the start. Her initial attorney had undisclosed conflicts, the prosecution withheld crucial evidence, and the jury foreman had connections to one of the accused. Owen received an unprecedented 9-to-15-year sentence for perjury, punishment that former Nebraska Supreme Court Justice Theodore Carlson called completely out of proportion for a first-time offender. She maintained her innocence throughout imprisonment, refusing to recant even when doing so would have secured earlier release. I did not lie, and I'm not going to say I'm a liar just so I can get out of prison, she told officials. Witnesses who recanted under pressure fared poorly. Troy Boner, who initially corroborated the abuse allegations before changing his testimony, fell into severe drug addiction and died mysteriously in 2003. In a 1993 affidavit, he detailed months of FBI intimidation, claiming agents threatened him with prison if he didn't lie or die. The Franklin scandal intersected with one of America's most haunting missing child cases, the 1982 disappearance of 12-year-old paperboy Johnny Gosch from West Des Moines, Iowa. Bonacci later revealed his devastating role in Gosch's abduction, claiming it was orchestrated by the same network connected to King and Spence. Bonacci's credibility strengthened when he accurately described intimate details about Johnny that weren't public knowledge, including a distinctive birthmark, the location of a scar, and the exact clothes Johnny wore when abducted. The case took an extraordinary turn during Bonacci's 1999 civil trial against Larry King when Johnny's mother, Noreen Gosch, testified that her adult son had secretly visited her in 1997, confirming Bonacci's account of his abduction and explaining he couldn't return home because the network remained active. In a landmark ruling, U.S. District Court Judge Warren Erbom found Larry King liable, awarding Bonacci $1 million in damages. The judge explicitly acknowledged the horrific abuse Bonacci endured, cataloging repeated sexual assaults, false imprisonments, infliction of extreme emotional distress, organized and directed satanic rituals. The Franklin scandal revealed how multiple systems can be corrupted simultaneously. Law enforcement agencies actively suppressed evidence and intimidated witnesses. Courts systematically dismissed credible testimonies and sealed crucial documents. Political figures leveraged their influence to redirect investigations, while child protective services often returned victims to dangerous situations. The media's role was particularly troubling. The Omaha World Herald, whose publisher had been implicated, published dozens of editorials attacking the investigation and supporting the hoax narrative. Local television stations polled investigative reports minutes before airtime, and national news organizations buried the story despite compelling evidence and multiple credible witnesses. This coordinated institutional response created an almost impenetrable wall protecting perpetrators. The mechanisms that should have provided checks and balances, independent journalism, judicial oversight, law enforcement integrity, all failed simultaneously when confronted with allegations against the powerful. Despite enduring horrific abuse and subsequent character assassination, several key survivors demonstrated remarkable resilience. Alicia Owen and Paul Bonacci built stable, productive lives, both happily married and self-employed. Their ability to overcome trauma stands as a testament to human resilience. The Franklin scandal endures as both a warning and a challenge. It reveals how vulnerable children from marginalized backgrounds become perfect targets for predators who understand their credibility will be questioned by default. It demonstrates how institutional power can be wielded not just to commit crimes, but to ensure their concealment. Perhaps most importantly, it reminds us that some truths demand extraordinary courage to confront. The victims who refused to be silenced, despite overwhelming pressure, showed that courage. The question remains whether we as a society will finally summon the courage to acknowledge what they endured and ensure such systematic abuse and cover-up cannot happen again. Their testimony stands. Will we finally listen?